The Green Bay Packers are back after a weekend away from football, and Eddie Lacy has been rejuvenated, in the words of head coach Mike McCarthy. Does that mean the Packers have turned a corner after last week's miraculous win? We'll find out with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning, and we're talking about an upcoming game against the Dallas Cowboys. Before that, we're going to take one last look back at the win over the Detroit Lions, and to do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone.
Expert interview.
We have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how you doing today?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing well. How about you?
Very good. Glad you could join us, as always, for your weekly engagement on Wednesdays. Nathan, taking one last look back at last week's game, obviously tight end Richard Rodgers had a good game, but what is he doing differently that he hadn't been doing up to that point?
Obviously, Rodgers had a career game, and it wasn't just that Hail Mary at the end. He caught all eight passes thrown his way, which was great to see. The first thing is he was targeted a bit more than he usually is. He's typically targeted on 18% of his pass routes, and against the Lions, that was all the way up to 31%. And I think the biggest key is they were able to get the crossing route to Rodgers to work. Prior to that game, he only caught 4 of 8 passes thrown his way on crossing routes. But when he was making the catch, he was averaging over 10 yards after the catch per catch, which is great. And in this game, he caught all 4 of crossing routes thrown his way. So that was half of his catches right there. And all 4 of them were positively graded. All 4 of them went for first down. He totaled 86 yards on those 4 crossing routes, with 38 of those yards coming after the catch. So I think that specific route was the big key of what was different in this game compared to past games. So I'm not sure if that's just something that they were exploiting against the Lions, but hopefully they're able to do the same in future games as well.
Yeah, we sat just a week ago. Last week we talked about the struggles of Richard Rodgers and how he wasn't, you know, getting downfield enough. The yards he was getting prior to even catching the football was not many, and to see things change was really a pleasant development, I guess, for the Packers this week. So that's great. The fact that the Packers were missing 3/5 of their starting offensive line got a lot of attention during the last game, Nathan. Can you assess the job the backups did and the difference they offer from the starters?
I'll start with the positive and go with J.C. Crowder. He didn't have quite as good of a game as he did the previous week, and that's mostly because he had some struggles with Floaty. But outside of that, he had a couple of nice blocks in this game, didn't really allow much pressure. So at this point, I wouldn't be all that surprised if Treader is just as good as Lindsey, or possibly even better. So at this point, I'd probably return him to the bench, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see a big competition at center and training camp next offseason. Outside of that, Lane Taylor, he didn't have a great game in this one. He allowed 4 hurries, which is something TJ Lang has only done once over the past 2 years, and that was in the game against Aaron Donald. So wasn't a great game out of Taylor. It wasn't a terrible one out of him either. And then outside of that, Don Barclay, we've graded him as one of the worst tackles in football prior to this game, and that just continued in this one. He allowed 2 sacks, 3 hits, and 5 hurries. So Taylor and Barclay combined allowed most of the pressure the Lions got in this game. So if the Packers had their starters, I wouldn't be surprised if Rodgers could have had even better games.
Yeah, I hope that's the case when they face the Cowboys this week and hopefully get these starters back, Ryan Bulaga and TJ Lang. Nathan, there was also a lot of attention on the demotion of Eddie Lacy and the promotion of John Crockett. I know we're looking at a small sample size, but how did the rookie Crockett grade out in his first career game?
It was a pretty small sample size. He was only in for 7 snaps, and 5 of them were runs. So only 2 pass plays were not really much happened with him on those plays. So it was really just his running. 2 of them were pretty nice runs. They went for first down. One of them, he was able to make a defender miss on him. So with the 2 good runs, 3 not as good runs or okay runs, he graded out right at average. So really nothing too positive or negative to say about him at this point.
Well, we'll look more forward from him in the coming weeks. Speaking of guys making their debuts, it was the starting debut for linebacker Jake Ryan. Do you think he's a starter to stay after his performance this past week?
I definitely think he's the starter going forward. He had a very busy game in this one. By our numbers, he led the team in tackles, which isn't always a good thing, but in this one, it was a fine thing. He did a good job on a number of run plays, making stops there. Also had a fumble recovery, which was a positive for him. And then in the pass game, he allowed 3 of the 4 passes thrown his way to be caught for 14 yards. The one incompletion was cut in part due to his recovery, so that was good of him as well. But looking at it, averaging less than 5 yards per catch allowed doesn't sound too bad, but one of them was for a touchdown. Another was for a first down, so we did grade him negatively in coverage overall in this one, so below average in coverage. And then he also had a missed tackle in the pass game, which also was part of that. And then in the run game as well, there were also a few plays where the offense was successfully able to block him, which brought his run grade down a little bit. But overall, it was a slight positive in the run game, negative in the pass game. So not the greatest game we've ever seen out of a linebacker, but it was still better than most of the games we've seen from Nate Palmer. So I would guess Ryan will continue to be the start.
Yeah, and the more experience Jake Ryan gets, hopefully he just keeps playing better and improves from here on out. We're talking to Nathan Jahnke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Nathan, another guy I thought had a great performance last week, and really the last several weeks, has been safety Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. What led to his good grade this past week against the Lions?
I definitely agree with you on those points there. He had a few nice plays in this one where he was able to set a block and then make a tackle for a short game. And a lot of times when we're seeing safeties make a play, sometimes it's unblocked altogether because they're running into the box. He was able to do both shedding the block and making the play, so that was good to see. Another couple of plays where he was able to disrupt the run game and either force a cut or at least slow the runner down so it's easier for someone else to make the play, so he graded positively on those as well. On the season as a whole, he has 17 run stops, which is 5th most for all safeties, which is good to see. And then a lot of those safeties who are making a lot of run stops, typically, their play is a little more aggressive, which also leads to missed tackles. So the 4 players above Clinton Dix right now, they're averaging 6 missed tackles each in the run game alone, where Clinton Dix only has 1 missed tackle in the run game off season. So with the combination of the plays he's made in the run game as well as not having too much negative in the run game, Clinton Dix is currently our highest rated safety specifically against.
Wow, that's really impressive and indicative of his season as a whole and how he's kind of improved over the past, I don't know, over the course of the season, we'll say. Mm-hmm. Over the past several weeks, it seems as if Clay Matthews has been relatively quiet. Is it the fact that he hasn't been getting home on his blitzes, or how do we account for his past several performances?
Yeah, in this game, he had a couple plays where he got pressure and another few plays where he was able to at least disrupt the run game. But there was a lot more negative plays, which either he was getting blocked or had a missed tackle or was over-pursuing. And these last few games, he's had a couple pressures each game, but hasn't really been getting sacked or hit. And I think at least part of that is he's not rushing the passer as much as he used to. There were four games over the first six where he was rushing the passer at 24 or more times. And then over the second half of the season, he's yet to have more than 24 pass rushes in a game. And I think part of that's probably due to the Packers winning more early in the season, which leads to the other team passing late in the game, which leads to the Packers using Dime more, which is where Clay Matthews is getting most of his pass rushes. I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers are also using a little less time than they would if all of the defensive backs were healthy, so that could contribute to it a little bit as well. But outside of that, I think it's just also Clay Matthews isn't as good as a good of a pass rusher as he was earlier in his career. I mean, each of 2010, 2011, 2012, we graded him as a plus 20 or better in pass rushing, whereas over these past three seasons, if you combine them all, he's only at about plus 15. So that's definitely not to say Clay Matthews is a bad pass rusher now, but he's definitely not as great as he once was a few years ago.
Yeah, I would say maybe another factor in that is he's rushing a lot less off the edge now than he was before, a lot more blitzes up the A-gap and things like that. And, of course, you're going having to go through a lot more traffic, I think, when you rush that way. So definitely a big difference there now that Clay Matthews' role has changed. Nathan, I wrote a column yesterday noting what I thought has been an improvement from cornerback Sam Shields over last season. Is there anything the statistics show Shields is doing this year that he wasn't doing last season?
I agree. I think he's having a better season. And the biggest thing that I noticed is he's not allowing nearly as many big plays as he was last year. He allowed a 50-yard catch in week one, but since then, he hasn't allowed a catch for more than 40 yards. And since week eight, he hasn't allowed a single catch for more than 20 yards. So not allowing the big plays is huge. Last year, there were four games where he allowed a catch for 40 yards or more. And then in most games, he allowed at least a 20-yard catch at some point in the game. Also, just looking at touchdowns, he allowed five touchdowns last year compared to just one this year. So while I think there's still room for improvement, he could probably allow fewer catches in general. But when you're not allowing big catches, that's a huge thing for a cornerback to do.
That's good news for Packers fans. Nathan, as we look ahead to the Cowboys game, this has obviously been a team that's underachieved this season, partially due to injuries. But what areas of this Cowboys team do the Packers continue to have to look out for in this upcoming game on Sunday?
On the offense, there really isn't too much to worry about. They still have some of the best offensive linemen in football today, but when the skilled players aren't making plays, it doesn't matter how good your offensive linemen are doing. So it'll at least be a good matchup to keep an eye out for to see if the Packers are able to get much of a pass rush. I'd also be interested to see how well Mike Daniels does against some of these offensive linemen. But on offense, they've lost their good running back, lost Tony Romo, of course. And you always have to worry about Dez Bryant, but this year he's only had one game where he's had more than 70 receiving yards. And he's only catching about half the punches thrown his way, which is more to do with the quarterback than it does Dez. So really not much to worry about on offense. When the Cowboys are on defense, they do have some good threats as pass rushers. DeMarcus Lawrence and Greg Hardy are playing very well at defensive end. Tyrone Crawford is a good interior pass rusher. And then they had a good few good players in coverage. That's where Sean Lee is really excelling at this year, is his playing coverage. And then the rookie Byron Jones, who has been playing all over this season. My guess is in this game, he'll be playing free safety or when the Cowboys are in dime, possibly up against Richard Rodgers. And he's been playing well in coverage. So I wouldn't be surprised if Richard Rodgers doesn't do quite as well since he'll be going up against some of the Cowboys' best coverage. But I could see this being a good game to try getting the run game going again since the Cowboys haven't been great at stopping the run. And then their outside cornerbacks haven't been playing the best, so I could see
Devontae Adams, James Jones having decent games in this one.
Yeah, you know, you bring up Byron Jones, and I know he's been playing all over the defense, but man, it just seems like with him, Demaryius Randle, there's lots of others in the league, Marcus Peters, this is really a good year for rookie cornerbacks in the NFL that just kind of stuck out to me a little bit as you were describing that. But Nathan, thank you so much for coming and joining us here on a Wednesday morning. We appreciate it as always. We'll look forward to your interview next week as we recap hopefully what's another Packers win, and we'll talk to you then.
Sounds good. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, you too. Nathan Yockey, ProFootballFocus.com, joining us as he does every Wednesday here at Railbird Central. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, yesterday on Tuesday, I think one of the big things to come out of Mike McCarthy's press conference was some pretty strong language coming from the Packers head coach saying, Eddie Lacy looks rejuvenated. I thought that was just an interesting word choice. Here we are, or were as of yesterday when the comments were made, that we were 6 days away or 6 days from Eddie Lacy breaking curfew in Detroit, which led to the following day, Thursday, the day of the game, kind of a role reduction in which Eddie Lacy only received 5 carries and gained only 4 yards against the Lions. Not much time had passed since that point when Eddie Lacy was in the doghouse. And now already, you know, they get back to the practice field for the first time on Tuesday, and he looks rejuvenated. What changed in that small amount of time? It's interesting. I mean, maybe it's just the simple fact that Eddie Lacy has been looking good. Prior to the Lions game, he had the back-to-back 100-yard rushing performances, which was really a step in the right direction. And you kind of thought, well, his season's turning around and he's starting to build momentum, you know, gain a little steam. And you know, maybe it was just simply from the fact the Packers punished him and he didn't get, you know, much playing time. And it's as simple as that rather than looking bad. I mean, it's just a pretty small sample size against the Lions more than anything else. And maybe the Packers are just moving on, be like, okay, yeah, we punished him. We're not going to let this linger. We're not going to continue to shame him for days and weeks on end and want it to be over with. Perhaps that's the case, but I just the word rejuvenated seemed weird to me a little bit. I mean, maybe it's a simple fact that Eddie Lacy's looking healthier too, because he was dealing with multiple injuries earlier in the season. The ankle injury that seemed to linger. He had that groin injury that kept him out of a game. So maybe that, you know, factors into the decision there as well. But, you know, just interesting here that, you know, there was a lot of attention on Eddie Lacy pretty much in the aftermath of that Detroit Lions game because of what transpired the night before, breaking curfew, etc., them letting go fellow running back Alonzo Harris and promoting John Crockett to the active roster. All those things had kind of made for a very interesting discussion at the running back position in Green Bay. So we continue to look at what Eddie Lacy offers here and where they go from here with him. Wonder if he'll be back in the starting lineup this week against the Cowboys. We'll see, I guess. And how they divvy up snaps between him and James Starks, especially, but how much John Crockett's involved going forward too. So there's that. And this, I suppose, to kind of segue into the other news. You know, last week there was, of course, news that the Packers brought in running back Monte Ball. I think Monte, right? Monte. There was discussion when he was in college how he himself wanted to pronounce his name. Monte Ball, former Wisconsin Badgers running back, was actually drafted just a few spots ahead of Eddie Lacy in the 2013 NFL draft, and has since fallen out of favor with the Denver Broncos, actually played in the Super Bowl with them, but only lasted two seasons, had been cut earlier this year. And so he's kind of a street free agent, and the Packers brought him in for a look-see, a workout, and they go in a different direction. I'd nothing to say that they couldn't look at him later, but it appears as if the Packers are more interested in a guy they signed to the practice squad yesterday, named Ross Shireman. Shireman? I'm not even the Packers just signed the guy. I haven't heard anybody else pronounce his name yet. Ross Shireman, a running back, a rookie from out of Lafayette. He was originally in training camp with the Steelers, but suffered an injury which eventually led to his release. So kind of some unfortunate circumstances there. He's a guy who it appears he's more quick than fast, judging upon his performance at the NFL Combine coming into his rookie year. If he could provide that with the Packers, we'll see. I know some have speculated that he's maybe more of a slot receiver than running back. I have no clue. That's just speculation from analysts. No clue whether that's going to come to fruition. He was more of a running back in college and a very productive one. Had rushed for over 3,000 yards in a 4-year college career there in the Patriot League. But anyway, so he's the newest addition to the Packers running back corps, albeit on the practice squad. This was the spot opened up when John Crockett was promoted to the active roster. So they had one spot open, and then they filled another when they released Kyle Sabetic, a defensive back and Wisconsin native. But they released him, and then they filled another one with Jamel Johnson, a wide receiver, and a I know very little about these fringe NFL guys who I honestly have never even seen play in an NFL game or college game for that matter. Jamel Johnson coming from Alabama State, so not even the FBS level, the top tier of college football, come from the lower level. The one thing I can say about him is that he's 6'2" and 217 pounds. That's a pretty good sized wide receiver right there. He was a rookie in 2014, has never signed an NFL contract. Obviously, there's something holding him back, or otherwise another team would have signed him by now. But maybe the Packers just looking for a diamond in the rough. Again, it's just the practice squad. They're not looking for immediate contributions from the guy, but looking for somebody to develop. And anyway, there you go. Those are the newest members of the Green Bay Packers, the green and gold, as the Packers look to, add to the talent level there in Green Bay. And kind of one other news item here from yesterday. Well, actually a few. I guess we could kind of roll up a few different things. One item, coming out of yesterday, reported by multiple outlets covering the Green Bay Packers, defensive lineman LaTroy Guyon has recovered his money that was originally, I don't know what the word is, confiscated when he was arrested, it was just kind of being held. They wouldn't give it back to him because there was the whole investigation. I think they kind of, wondered for a while whether it was involved in a drug trade or not. LaTroy Guyon has claimed all along that he's got proof that it comes from his paychecks with the Packers. Anyway, after his case has been settled, he's finally received like $190,000-some-odd back from law enforcement in Florida, where he was arrested during the offseason with marijuana involved in this. And he received his truck back as well. So he's been operating for a while here without these things. And I'm sure maybe there's not a lot of sympathy from people out there, considering he was arrested and considering he's a professional football player and gets paid better than many people do in America. But anyway, so LaTroy Guyon recovers this. And on top of that, from the other standpoint where maybe some bad publicity has been brought to the Packers organization, there was earlier this week on Monday, since our last episode of Railbird Central, so I haven't had a chance to comment on this yet, information released regarding to the arrest of Andrew Quarles over the offseason. Photographs from the investigation and recordings of 911 calls. And I thought the most interesting thing, published by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a photograph taken by police of Andrew Quarles basically grabbing his crotch in defiance. Obviously, he was upset and mad, probably, understandably. But I think he probably was directing it to the wrong people when he is arrested after firing shots from a gun in the air. And people worrying about their own safety after this happened. But it just doesn't look good. Here's you know, Andrew Quarles, you know, grabbing his crotch in a show of defiance to law enforcement in Florida. It just is another black eye for the Packers organization that you've got guys like this, Quarles and LaTroy Guyon, that you know... Really, you kind of wonder whether they should be employed at all. And on top of it, they're not really producing on the football field. It's been a drop-off compared to last year for Guyon. And on top of that, Andrew Quarles is just simply, you know, he's been injured. I mean, it's not like he's out there and he's playing bad, but these guys aren't contributing. And you kind of wonder, both these guys are going to be free agents in the offseason. And wondering if they'll be back next season in Green Bay. I tend to think that maybe both of them will not be at this point. But, you know, several weeks left in the season, and we'll kind of see how things play out here as time goes along. But anyway, those were some notable moments over the past week and recent developments from old cases of arrest during the offseason. Anyway, next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday, the team will release their first injury report of the week. And this follows a practice held on Tuesday, kind of atypical because the Packers have, you know, coming off consecutive games on Thursdays and they kind of gave them the whole weekend off and things like that. So they hold an unusual Tuesday practice, but you know, they're not required to release an injury report until Wednesday. So all we've got is just basically reports from beat reporters to go on. Encouraging news that the only player who didn't practice on Tuesday was center Corey Linsley. Everybody else returned, including all the players who missed last Thursday's game against the Lions. We're talking about offensive linemen. Remember, they were missing so many of them. Brian Bulaga and TJ Lang came back. Ty Montgomery, the guy who's been dealing with the lingering ankle issue seemingly for forever here, you know, 6-7 weeks now, he was back practicing. So was cornerback Demarius Randall, the first round draft choice, who missed the Lions game. So a lot of good news coming out of practice. Because the team didn't release an injury report, we don't really know their level of participation. You know, sometimes when they release an injury report, it'll say whether they're limited or they're full or whatever. We don't really know that for these players. And that's what we're going to get today. So we're going to get the first injury report, get a little bit better picture of where these players are at, and see if Corey Linsley, the center who didn't practice on Wednesday, if he's able to return, or, you know, how long it'll take until the Packers get him involved. But good news coming out of Green Bay for these guys in that, you know, they'll making progress at least, even if they're not fully healthy yet. Maybe they will be soon, or at least that's what you hope for. But that's what's happened on Tuesday and what we're looking forward to on Wednesday. Head coach Mike McCarthy has his press conference at, I believe it's 10:15 or 10:30 a.m. You can confirm on Packers.com where it's streamed as usual. McCarthy may or may not have an update. You know how he is talking about injuries. You don't always get the full, you know, disclosure from Mike McCarthy, but we'll see. Sometimes when there are developments, he will talk about them. So looking forward to that this Wednesday as we're getting ready for an upcoming game against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. So that'll do it for today's show. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com for joining us. My call to action, as usual, if you've not done so already, the one small thing we ask from you on the show that is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall, give us a rating and a review on iTunes. Doesn't have to be anything real long, but we'd appreciate it if you just, you know, helps us get word out about the show. So we'd appreciate it if you did that. But that'll do it, folks. We'll be back again on Friday previewing the upcoming Cowboys game a little bit more in depth. So we'll see you then. I leave you today with a song called Different Light by Steve Winwood on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.